Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
This culture is trying to shut us up and down. You cannot speak the truth. You can't even speak the truth in love without somebody to do whatever, you know, get in your face. It's none of your business. You can't tell me that. Quit arguing with the culture and just spit it out.
Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope and insight for you. And in today's broken world, that is something everyone is desperate to hear. Richard shares unapologetically the truth of the Bible in a way that's clear, relational, and uplifting. So thank you for taking this time to listen. We know it will bless you. And when you have a moment, you might want to check out our website so we can stay connected with you, richardellis.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Out of Here. Turn to Matthew 24. I try to go left to right. Usually we're not going to make it today that way. So if you got a Bible with you or if you've got a tablet or whatever you're using, your phone, something, find it, navigate it. But if you got an actual Bible, which there's still some of those out there, if you say, well, I don't know where these things are, table of contents in the front, find that, kind of slide something, marker in there. And if I call out the name of a book, you just go look it over there and look up the page and go to that page. And if you're sitting there going, why is he telling us that? Everyone knows that. Not everyone knows that. So, okay, I got to tell you something first. And I told a few people just because I had to tell a few people. For whatever reason, God has done, is doing, and I think is going to do extraordinary things out of this little room and this bunch of people. And for whatever reason, ridiculous opportunities come our way to rebroadcast these crazy sermons. I admit, these crazy sermons that come out of here. But the reason they're crazy sermons is that you are crazy people. Because see, I know I could probably never get hired anywhere else. I'd get fired the first week. But because of the unique combination of how God made me and how God made you and how God puts us together, then he generates these things out of not just random, just, you know, open your Bible, put your finger down, but it's out of talking to you. You know, I can point at you. I know you people. I know where you live. I know where you hurt. I know when you weep, and sometimes I weep with you. So for whatever reason, I've kept a lid on certain things that I've not said publicly. And I don't tell you what's going on. We have, for whatever reason, out of this little thing, this incubator, this bunch of people, God is giving us opportunity. We got a deal the other day, 50 stations. They said 50 stations. You can be on their rock and roll, Christian rock format, and we'll put you on 50 stations. Said we've picked Greg Laurie and this ministry to go together because we think it'll reach a crowd. And then that 50 can turn into 400 more. So I can't do it anymore. I can't do this by myself. I need us to rejoice. I'm excited anyway. I can't contain it. It's unfair for me not to share with you these opportunities because it's us. It's him. It's God saying, look, it's just bring me what you got and watch what I can do. So God is pushing his word out. Now, why is that? We are not ashamed of the gospel. And if you're not ashamed of him, he will not be ashamed of you. And, you know, I read a ton of scripture. I can't compete with scripture. And something happens when people hit a button or tune in on, you know, it's unbelievable opportunity. It's you guys praying. It's the gospel. And it's an opportunity for us out of this tiny little cannon to blow the world up in the best of ways. So I need us to celebrate together. I need us to pray together. I need us to catch a vision of what God is trying to do. And there is no other explanation. It's scripture, the gospel, prayer. It's very simple. People say, oh, it's some new formula. There is no new formula. The formula is Jesus. That's the formula. and the world has got, you know, it's this watered down Jesus on the rock, sipping CEO, how are you? You know, give them the hard stuff in a bottle, in a bag, and let them go. Okay, I knew everyone had clapped, just got out of rehab, so there we go. All right, let me try to go back to Matthew chapter 24. I got about 6 minutes, so let's do this fast. So Matthew 24, the first out of here. Look down at verse 3, Matthew 24, 3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, talking about Jesus, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." I want out of here. And my book tells me the way out of here is to get the word out. So you say, well, what is this all about? God has left us on the planet. He didn't evacuate you when you became a Christian because there's work to do. You say, well, I'll go to work. I'm not talking about that. You can do your job at your job, but your job is being a Christian. Your job is getting the gospel out. So I'm hoping and I'm praying that, and have been praying, that we collectively will get a vision. And I've said this years ago, but if God basically, you know, sent an emissary and said, okay, there's no Christians left on the planet. You're it. And your job, this bunch of people right here, your job is to get the gospel to the entire planet. What's your plan? What is your plan? You say, well, people come and say, well, you ought to be on TV. That's not what God told us to do. Okay, that's not what's available. So you say, okay, well, what did he give us? What do we got? We got messages that can be rebroadcast and the people hear the gospel. So I need you to pray that whatever that is, what I get terrified almost by, not in an ungodly way, is that I'm going to die one day, or Jesus is going to come back and we're going to get the gospel to the whole world. They'll hear and then boom, he'll say, that's it. And then I'm going to go into my exit interview with Jesus and he's going to say, okay, what did you not get? What did you not understand? I gave you the whole manual, everything you needed. I didn't give you the whole planet full of books. Simple manual. You could have read it. The instructions are here. What did you not get about pushing, about trying, about trusting, about getting out of your comfort zone, about going exceedingly abundantly above anything you thought was possible? Ask God to do something you can't do. Ask him. Because he shows up. The 50 stations I told you about, I go, God, I'm telling you, you got to pray for me because I'm getting overwhelmed and it's not by bad stuff anymore. I can't tell them no anymore. I just can't. It's too hard to tell them no. And I had some conversations with God during that week. And I literally held my hand up and I said, okay, my book says that you hold the universe between these fingers, the span of your hand. So I don't know what else to do, God. This is your problem now. I got nothing. I can't go out there and spend my life trying to make money to pay for it. It needs fuel. So God, all I know is I cannot die and face you and not be able to say, I tried, I trusted, I asked you. So whatever God has told you about your life and about what's supposed to be going on, you need to press in, you need to pray, and if you need to fast, you need to do whatever you need to do so that you give him the opportunity. You show up with what he's given you and let him show you what he can do with it. You say, well, I don't think God could do something like this. You don't know my God. And I got verses to back up what his heart is to reach the world. How can you question whether God wants to reach the planet when he sent his own son down here to get crucified, die, be buried, and raised from the dead? What do we need? Mark 16, go over there a minute. Mark 16, verse 15. And some of you know these verses by heart. You know it's in here, but this is for the sake of people who maybe never read the Bible. This is Jesus speaking, Mark 16, 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How am I going to do that? That's what he told us to do. There are ways to do that. And you need to get involved in ways to do that. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Simple stuff. Go to Luke 24, 47. Simply covering this same thing, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So start there and take it to the planet. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. I'm like, okay, that's our job. That's what he said to do, to the end of the earth. We got missionaries we support all over the planet. But God has given us technology, whether it's the internet or radio or whatever these things. And you say, well, let's send them Bibles. Billions of people on the planet can't read. They can't read. You give them a Bible, they don't have nothing to do with it. It's not that that's bad. They hear, and I'll get to that in a minute. So you want to get out of here? Let's get the word out. Secondly, it's out of here. It's out of literally a group of people. Go to Romans chapter 1. And I know I get funny comments every once in a while. People say, dude, you're just like, you cry and get all emotional. It might be time for you to do the same. Amen. And a good place to start is somewhere weeping about your own sin and figuring out that you're wasting your time, which isn't your time, it's God's time. And maybe something needs to happen. Something needs to change. And you say, well, God, I can't change this. I've been struggling with this for years. Then get some help. Get some people around you. Pray with someone. Fast and pray with someone. There's so many options to this. But he answers prayer. Let him answer prayer. Ask him for something. So that's Romans. Did I even read the verse?
No.
Well, that's not Romans. Okay, so let's, for the sake of time, go to Romans 1 and jump down to, he gives a bunch of introductory remarks. Verse 7, he says, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is who he's addressing. Then in verse 8, he says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world, the known world. That the Christians at Rome, they believe so much. Your faith should be and can be spoken of throughout the whole world. And people say, well, why, you know, I get it. We want to get the gospel out, but how does that affect our church? Sometimes it's a boomerang. You put the gospel way out there, and then someone way out there tells someone in our town here in Dallas, says, dude, you got to go figure out what, something's going on down there. Go see what that is. And then they walk in the door off of a friend in the Northeast someplace. So it comes back around. You know, we're never going to have everybody show up here, but we can push it out there in amazing ways. There is almost no limitation. And so I'm going to tell you some stuff, and this is what I've held back on. I go to these things called the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, and there are guys who have been going to those things for decades, walking around with a CD, a home run they hit back in 78. I want to be on the radio. I'm, you know, they're out there shaking hands, doing all that. We don't do any of that. They are coming to us and saying, we know what this is. We know something is going on, the way it's said, what is said. We will put you on every station we have. It's crazy opportunity. If you're in business and you don't advertise, you just sit at your desk and the phone rings and people say, come quick, I need your help. You go, what's going on? It would rattle you, right? Yep. I'm trying to do better. If this is, I'll try again next time if it doesn't work today. I'll say it again. Go to 1 Corinthians 16. This is Paul again writing to another city, not too far away, Corinth. 1 Corinthians 16:9. He says this, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. The enemy pushes back. We don't go over well in hell. This is not popular in hell.
because we are not scratching your ears. We are not serving Jesus up on the rocks. We're trying to give you scripture in a large gathering like this, in small groups, in one-on-one discipleship. We're trying to help you move along the continuum, become a Christian, grow as a Christian, get mature enough to lead someone to Christ and help them grow up. So it's game on. If we just wanted to gather bunch of people in a room and entertain them and get some of their money, build something, whatever that is, I think hell almost leaves you alone. You're gonna get your butt kicked if you stay here, because this is war and there are easier places to go, but no more fun to me. Man, this is crazy fun, because look around the room. Look at the changed lives. This is unbelievable to me. I still wouldn't trade with anybody on the planet. Okay, go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Jump in verse 18. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end and with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me. This is Paul to the church at Ephesus. He's saying specifically, and for me, pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. This culture is trying to shut us up and down. You cannot speak the truth. You cannot say even, you can't even speak the truth in love without somebody going, dude, whatever, you know, get in your face. It's none of your business. You can't tell me that. Quit arguing with the culture and just spit it out. Just tell them the truth. Look, I don't know where you're from, whatever, you know, but here's the truth. Jesus loves you. My life changed when I understood that God loved me, sent his son Jesus to die on a cross, be buried and raised from the dead. You go, well, they'll be offended. They're already offended. Their life sucks. And you say, well, they don't look like that. If they end up in hell, their life is really going to suck forever. So get over that. And when the Holy Spirit prompts you, just share the truth. The gospel is the most powerful weapon in the universe. Amen. The gospel, simple, simple, simple stuff. You can do it on an elevator in less than 10 seconds. I've done it. Of course, I was standing in front of the doors like this. Oh, I'll be glad this is over. All right, where's another one? Go to Colossians 4. You know, I watched a little piece of a documentary on a British professional soccer team the other day, and they had the camera following this guy around the locker room, and he was folding shirts and putting towels up and everything. Oh, he's just some guy. And then they started explaining who he was. He was a former player, and he wasn't playing soccer anymore. He still wanted to be on the team. You say, well, I'm not going to be a speaker. I'm not going to be all that. You know what? Let God tell you where you are on the team and just do your job. You say, well, I can't write a big check and change anything. Climb in a closet somewhere, you change the planet. 1 week drinking water, change your life and your small and large intestines. Whole nother story. I don't even like carrot juice. My doctor buddy told me to drink carrot juice, and I thought I was having communion. It's like carrot communion, that first thing that went in after that long. Anyhow. Colossians chapter 4, jump in verse 1. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. So he's getting them to pray. Pray that we have opportunity, that we have opportunity. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And then we really are almost out. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians 1, let's jump in at verse 8. He says, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia in that area, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned from idols to serving the living and true God. So word gets out. You are the poster children for what works. I can literally go through this whole building almost and talk to you about people who went from death to life, from the power of Satan to the power of God, from darkness to light. And when people meet you, you are the proof that this works because your life is literally being changed. And then they say, I need that. You're not judging them. You're not condemning them. You're just living. And they want a part of that. They see him. Go to Romans chapter 10. And this is the last one I'll read. And this is the last out of here. It's just a different kind of here. And listen to Paul's heart, writing to the Romans, Romans chapter 10, verse 1, and he starts with brethren. So he's writing to people who are followers of Christ, believers. He said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. So they're excited. They're, you know, pointing, kind of chasing God, but they don't know what they're doing. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, the man who does these things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from heaven, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. It's not that we go looking for him, have to go find him somewhere. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So you say, well, how do I become a Christian? You confess with your mouth. You say, the Lord Jesus, he is Lord. And you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. The book says you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, wow, great, we'll end there. That's not where it ends. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher or someone proclaiming the truth? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This last NRB, a guy that owns a ton of stations in kind of the Midwest, you know, he quoted that verse to me. He doesn't have television stations. He says, well, that's really not in the Bible. He says, faith comes by hearing, not by seeing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, RichardEllis.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's audio and video messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link so you can connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, all of our social media links, and much more. So check it out, RichardEllis.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
All right, I don't know what else to say. I need you to pray. I can pray and I think get through and get a certain amount done, but we together can light a cannon. You say, well, we can't take the planet. My daddy's here. Part of the reason I'm here and think this way is that old man right back there. Because I was raised in a house with a man who believed you could take the planet. And that was my vision. And if God said, okay, you don't have to take the whole thing, take this, I'm okay with that. But I believe that if God tells you, go into all the world, and I've said this for decades, if God had changed one word in the scriptures, we as believers would be the number one proponents of space exploration on the planet. If he had said, go into all the universe, we would be lighting rockets looking for lost souls if we were really his children. He did not say go into all the universe. He said go into all the earth. So it's a fixed, limited target that either can be done or it can't. And he would not have said go do it if it couldn't be done. So let's do it. When this all started years ago, these radio, all this opportunity, every once in a while saying, well, you just want to be on the radio or something because you want to be somebody. Let me tell you something. I already am somebody. Because he says I'm somebody. Not because somebody thinks you're famous or good at something. You got to know he knows you're somebody. Then you can do it.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. So give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Or through our website, richardellis.com, by sending an email to us so we can stay connected with you. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or through the website, richardellis.com. Your story needs to be heard, and we're listening, caring, and encouraged. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellis.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support to join us on our mission to reach the planet. We can't do it alone and need your help on this mission. RichardEllis.com. So till next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.